baseball fans across the world. My name is Simon, and I would like to welcome you to the Extra Innings Podcast, where the MLB is the topic of discussion and opinions are at an all-time high. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe to the YouTube channel and follow the Spotify page with the links down below in the description. Now, let's play ball. How is everybody doing today? Hope you are doing well. Today, we will be jumping in to the Astros 2020 offseason evaluation. Now, I know there's a lot to be said about the Astros, and there will be its own separate video on, you know, what I believe the Astros, you know, whether I believe they received the right punishment, whether it should have been harsher, whether it should have been less harsh. That will be with a guest. I have that set to be recorded in 2 days and coming out next week. But I just want to go over the Astros without any bias, without any, you know, positive or negative light towards them. It's just going to be my personal opinions on them, my personal opinions on what they did in the offseason, but nothing to do with, you know, the stigma going around with the Astros and the whole camera scandal. So the Astros in 2019 were 107-55 with an astounding 60-21 home record and a 47-34 road record. They were first in the AL West, and they lost in the World Series to the Washington Nationals. Now, I know I wasn't going to speak on it, but I have to a little bit. That 60-21 home record versus that 47-34 road record. Don't get me wrong, being plus 13 on the road is beautiful, but being plus 40, being plus 39 at home is astronomical. You know, yes, I understand that, you know, you're going to have a tendency to be better at your home park because you know it, but to be 39 games above 500 it's a lot. Just to put it bluntly, it's a lot of games to be above 500. And I can see now, like, I never really looked at the home road splits, but these are drastic, you know. There definitely was something going on in Houston, and yeah. But overall, they were a really good team, I think, with or without, you know, the whole scandal. Maybe they wouldn't have been as good, but maybe that record, they probably would have been 20 or 25 games above 500, probably 20 games above 500 at home. But yeah, they're a very, very good team on paper, even without the whole thing. They're just a very good team. So going into the arbitration moves for 2020, they picked up the arbitration on Lance McCullers, or they signed him to avoid the arbitration in 2018, because unfortunately he did not pitch in 2019. He was 10-6 with a 3.86 ERA, a 1.17 WHIP, in 128 and a third innings. He struck out 142 batters, and he gave up 12 home runs. He started 22 games, and he's entering his age 26 season now. So I'm a fan of Lance McCullers, and again, I'm not going to speak on it, but one quick like little tidbit is pitchers were not benefited by the whole buzzers and cameras, right? So they still had to execute pitches. They still had to pitch extremely well to keep their team in the game. So if you pitched well in Houston, it's not gonna negatively affect you in the long run, because like if you look at Gerrit Cole, he still had an amazing season, and Lance McCullers did have that in 2018. He was hurt all of 2019, so hopefully he has a bounce back in 2020. But yeah, I mean, it's a good signing. I said in the Mets video, I say pretty much every video, if your player's on arbitration, you have to sign him just to avoid that for 3 years or 2 years, and then you have 1 year of renewables, and then he goes to his big contract if he deserves one. But throughout his arbitration, you pick him up. Those are your control years. You have, I think, 5 years of control for over a player before they get to finally sign their own contract. And when you have those 5 years of control, you're going to take advantage, because it's not a lot of money. It is a lot of money in the sense that like a normal everyday working person sees $2 million is a lot of money. But in the grand scheme of a organization in the MLB, it is not a lot of money, and you have to pick it up every single time. Even if the player is bad, if the player was hurt the year before, you pick him up for $2 million. If he doesn't pan out, then you don't give him that renewable. And if he does, you lock him up for a long time. So Lance McCullers, it's going to bolster that starting pitch rotation that was already so good. You know, they did lose Gerrit Cole, but you know, to get Lance McCullers back, yeah, they're not even on the same realm of talent, but it's a good pitcher to plug in to replace Gerrit Cole. It's like, it's not a scrub by any means. It's more than a serviceable pitcher. It's an above average. He could get to the upper tier of pitchers, but as of right now, it's a good number three in the rotation. Next, for arbitration, you have Chris Devinsky. He's a reliever, a right-handed reliever. In 2019, he had a 4.83 ERA with a 1.3 WHIP. In 69 innings pitched, he struck out 72 batters. He gave up 13 home runs, and his WAR was a negative 0.1. He's entering his age 29 season. What I have to say about Chris Devinsky is he's had a rough 2018 and 2019. The past 2 years for him have been extremely rough with ERAs in the fours. But in 2016 and 2017, he had ERAs in the low to mid twos. So if he really wants to stay consistent and he wants to stay, if he wants to reach that all-star potential that he had back in 2017, he has to bring that ERA down. His WHIP is fine at a 1.3. You know, I like to see it go down a little bit for relievers, you know, maybe a 1.2. Innings pitched, 69. If he can get to the mid-70s, low 80s, that's great. But as long as he can stay around 70 innings pitched, that should be fine. Keeping those strikeouts above innings pitch is great. Definitely has to lower the home runs. When I saw the ERA, so when I wrote out these stats, I saw a 4.83 ERA. I'm like, wow, that's interesting because, you know, I view him as a good pitcher, as a good reliever. And then I see 72 strikeouts and 69 innings pitched with a 1.3 of them. Like, the only thing I can think of is him giving up a bunch of home runs. I look down, 13 home runs and 69 innings pitch is a lot of home runs to give up. Some, you know, pitchers don't like to give up, starting pitchers don't even like to give up 13 home runs in, you know, 20 starts, 30 starts even. So he has to lower the ER, he has to lower the number of home runs he allows to under five. If you're pitching 70 innings, you have to give up less than five home runs. And he still has the ability to do that. He's only entering his age 29 season. But like I said, controllable years, control years, control years, control years. You have to pick them up, and then you make your decision when they finish their renewables. So, again, no real opinion on the move, but I like him as a player, and I think he has a lot of potential. Next, they signed Carlos Correa to avoid arbitration. His stats in 2019: 279 batting average, a 358 on base percentage, a 926 OPS. And a 568 slugging with 21 home runs, 59 RBIs, and his WAR was a 3.5 with 7 defensive runs saved. He played only 75 games. He was hurt a lot of it. He played less than half of the games in the MLB season in 2019. He's only entering his age 25 season, which is absolutely phenomenal. You know, you think about it, Correa's been in the league for at least, I think, around 5 years, but he started when he was 19. So, you know, to get someone that young with so much control, you're going to have to pay him next year because I think this was his last year of arbitration. You might have one more year of renewables. I have to check the contract, but you might have one more year of renewables, and then you're going to have to pay this man. And if you don't pay him, someone else will. I think they will pay him because you have to lock him up for good. He is your shortstop of the future. And I know a lot of people hate him now. A lot of people hate everybody in the Astros, but especially Carlos Correa because he kind of didn't give a full apology for it. But, and he said, they don't really have to apologize for it, but he's still an elite shortstop hitting-wise and defensive-wise. 7 defensive runs saved in a season is very, very solid from your shortstop. He has great range, great arm. He has great instincts on the diamond, I have to say. He knows exactly what he's doing. What he reminds me of is like a Francisco Lindor in the sense that they know exactly where to be at every single time. They're always in the right position on shifts. They're always in the right position to, you know, if they know tendencies of batters so well that they'll move over 1 to 2 feet, you know, just a little shuffle, but that can make a world of a difference when you're trying to get a fast runner out of first base. Instead of having to move to your backhand, if you're just fielding it straight up, you're going to make that throw much easier. So defensively, he's smart. Offensively, he hits really well. In a full season, you'll see what he does. He hits around 30 to 35 home runs. He'll get around 70 to 75 RBIs. His batting average will stay around 280. His slugging will go up and his on-base percentage will go up. So he's only getting better. He's only entering his age 25 season. He has 3 more years till he hits his prime and then 4 years of prime. And then it's a slow progression in the MLB. So he has around, you know, 7 to 8 really good years left in the MLB. So Astro fans should be excited about that. Next, signed George Springer to a 1-year contract to avoid arbitration. George Springer had one hell of a year in 2019. If you career highs in batting average, on base percentage, slugging, OPS, home runs, and RBIs, and wins above replacement, and defensive runs saved, pretty much every category I'm about to read to you was a career high. .292 batting average, a .383 on base, a .591 slugging, a .974 OPS with 39 home runs, 96 RBIs, and a 6.4 win above replacement player with 12 defensive runs saved in only 122 games played. He was a silver slugger, an all-star for a third year in a row, and he was 7th in MVP voting, and he's entering his age 30 season. Those stats are video game numbers from a center fielder who offensively and defensively, you know, he reminds me, I don't want to put him in the same tier as Mike Trout because nobody's in the same even universe as Mike Trout, but he competed with Mike Trout for being one of the best center fielders in all of baseball. I'm trying to think off the top of my head some very, very good center fielders. You know, George Springer really comes to mind as one of the best, especially to patrol to patrol center field. You know, maybe Ketel Marte if he plays center field, but sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But these stats are phenomenal. Almost 300, almost 40 home runs, almost 100 RBIs. If he even hits near this next year, the Astro fans should be ecstatic. You know, if he hits 280 with 30 to 35 home runs and 90 RBIs, and if he's anywhere near a 6-win player or a 5-win player with 10 defensive runs saved, I wonder what he would have done if he played a real season without missing 40 games. I don't know. He probably would have got 45 home runs. You know, 40 more games to hit 6 home runs and get 4 more RBIs to break 100. I really see it, and I think he would have been a 7-win player. The guy is phenomenal. 7th in MVP voting. He's sucks for him that the league was so good last year that it was hard to win an MVP. But man, he's a beast, and he's only entering his age 30 season. He's in his prime, and he's getting better. He has at least 4 to 5 really good years left in the MLB, and he will continue to excel and thrive. George Springer is just that guy. He's that dude on the Houston Astros that really everyone likes. So, and I like him as well. Next, you sign re-signed to avoid arbitration one of the best closers in all of baseball, Roberto Osuna. In 2019, he pitched to a 2.63 ERA and a .877 WHIP, 73 strikeouts in 65 innings with only giving up 8 home runs. He saved 38 games, which led the American League. He only blew 6 games. He was a 1.8 win above replacement player, and he's entering his age 25 season. He's an elite closer, an elite, elite, elite closer. He has the potential to be probably the best closer in the AL. I think Josh Hader has the best closer in baseball locked up pretty well, but he has the potential to be the best closer in the AL. I'm trying to think who can top him. Maybe Chapman. Maybe Colin. No, Colin May really fell off. Not fell off, but can't compete with Osuna right now. But and it's crazy how he's only 25. He still has so much room to develop and reach his full potential. You know, again, I like to do it in terms of you reach your prime at 28, you have 4 years of really good prime till you're age 32, and then you have a slow decrease in productivity until around age 30, 35, where you really drop off and just become a platoon player at best. So if you do it in terms of that, he has 10 really, really solid years left to play in the MLB. He is a pitcher, so Those ages are a little taken back because pitchers have more strain on their arms, and that is their moneymaker. So I'd say he has around 7 to 8 good years left in the MLB. Next, you signed Martin Maldonado to a 2-year contract. He is already past arbitration. He's been in the league for a while. In 2019, he had a rough season. He batted .213 with a .293 on base, a .378 slugging, a .671 OPS with 12 home runs, 27 RBIs. He was a 1.3 win above replacement player. He had 0 defensive runs saved in 105 games with 3 different teams, with Kansas City, Chicago, who he only played 4 games with, Chicago Cubs, and the Houston Astros. He's entering his age 33 season, so you're locking him up to the end of his age 34 season. And I mean, he is your starting catcher. He did provide productivity in the playoffs. I remember watching him. You know, he works the pitching staff really well. I know his defensive runs saved are not there. They're actually at 0. But he works the pitching staff really well. He controls the pace of play pretty decently. You know, he's middle of the pack when it comes to pace of play. He, as a defensive catcher, I'd say he's also middle of the pack. You know, he is, you have to remember he's behind the plate, but he's not like a like a Yadier Molina or you know, a JT Realmuto or a Yasmani Grandal. Maybe not Yasmani Grandal because he's not the greatest defensive catcher. But you have to remember that he is behind the plate. He's like a Wilson Contreras, not like that at all. He's kind of like an Omar Narvaez in the sense that, you know, normally he puts up better hitting numbers than this. You know, hitting .213 is abysmal. Having a 293 on base is, you know, just not good. Like, that means that out of 10 times he gets on base, 29% of the time, so 2.9 out of 10 attempts. That includes walks. You know, it's not just hitting, it includes walks. So his average was bad, but he just didn't, that means he didn't walk a lot also. It means that his plate discipline is not great. And I'm sure if I looked up how many times he grounded into double play, just based on where he hits in the lineup for the Astros, I'm sure it's a lot. I didn't look it up, but I'm sure it is. If someone could stack, if I'm wrong, I might be wrong because I don't have the stat in front of me, but I'm sure it was a lot. But yeah, I mean, he is your starting catcher. Could you have went out and maybe signed Yasmani Grandal? Possibly, but I don't see the Astros doing that just because they're going to have to lock up guys like Carlos Correa and George Springer and Yordan Alvarez when the time comes. So they're going to save that money to sign those players. And Yasmani Grandal did cost a pretty penny this offseason. But yeah, they're a good team. Maldonado's a serviceable, normally he's a serviceable catcher. This season, below average, but he did produce in the playoffs. And that's kind of what you need when you're the Astros, you know. Your lineup is already stacked and loaded. Everybody hits a home. Everybody has the opportunity. Anyone has the capabilities and puts fear in the pitcher that they're going to hit a home run off you. Yordan Alvarez puts it 500 feet in the air. But yeah, I like the signing. I don't love the signing. Could they have gotten a better catcher? Yes, but they don't need it for this team. It's a signing that fits this team. That's why I like it. I don't like it because I don't think he's the greatest catcher to play baseball. I don't think he's even a top 10 catcher. And the catcher position is pretty thin. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Maldonado, but it fits the Astros. Next, they signed Joe Smith, or a re-signing of Joe Smith, to a 2-year contract. In 2019, he pitched to a 1.8 ERA with a 0.96 whip in 25 innings pitched with 22 strikeouts, giving up 2 home runs. And he's entering his age 36 season. I would have gave him a 1-year contract. If you look at his career, just overall, this is what he does. You know, he pitches to a low ERA, pitches to a low whip. His innings has to get up, obviously, to around like 60 or 65. So you expect that ERA to go above a two, with that whip to go above a 1.1 probably. Strikeouts to hover around 60. If he's pitching 70 innings, hovered around 60. If he's pitching 60, hovered around 50. Home runs expected to go up to 5 probably in the excess of innings that he's pitching. But he's been consistent his whole career. You know, he's never been an all-star pitcher. He's never been, considered one of the best elite, like, middle relievers or, you know, long relievers or even setup mans. But he could be used as a setup man. So, but I think he will be probably used as a middle reliever. He isn't really a specialist. You know, he's not a lefty. He's a righty. Pitches to righties well. Pitches to lefties pretty well as well, if you look at his splits. And, again, I like the signing. He pitched well in 2019. Granted, in a very small amount of innings pitched, so it's a small sample size. But I can see how he would pitch in 60 innings based off how he pitched in 25. So the projections are good for him. The predictions are good for him as well, and I like him. He is getting up there in age, though, but again, as a middle reliever who's only going to pitch around 50 to 60 innings a year, you can use him until around the age of 40. So that's a plus. And the last move we have is them trading for Austin Pruitt from the Tampa Bay Rays for pitcher Peyton Battenfield and another low-level prospect. In 2019, Austin Pruitt pitched to a 4.4 ERA with a 1.25 whip in 47 innings pitched. He struck out 39. He gave up 7 home runs, and his WAR was a 0.3 entering his age 30 season. He only pitched in 14 games. He started 2 of them. So he's a solid. Okay, he's probably going to be used as the fifth starter in this rotation or the fourth starter, right? But in Tampa Bay, he was used as a starter, but he was also used as a long reliever and a middle reliever. He could be used as a setup man for the Houston Astros. But again, I really love this. I love this trade, not because I'm extremely high on Austin Pruitt. It's because you gave up mid to low level prospects for him, and it's a low risk, high reward type of. He is that low risk type of high reward player. If you're the Tampa Bay Rays, you know you're probably not going to pay this guy in the long run. He's already age 30. You know, you get two prospects in return. Yeah, it's a good idea. I mean, I don't love what, like, just a little tangent. I don't love what the Tampa Bay Rays did this offseason. I don't think the Jose Martinez trade was a great trade for them by any means. You know, you gave up Matthew Liberatore, but to get Payne Battenfield and another low level prospect back, it's not a bad trade. And you're probably not paying Austin Pruitt anyways. He didn't really fit their bullpen with Oliver Drake in there, so. Yeah, I mean, it didn't really fit their bullpen so well. But for the Astros point side of things, because this is their episode, I do like the trade. I do think, like I said, low risk, high reward. And that's exactly what you're looking for in every trade. You're trying to win every single trade you make. And I think they did win this. I personally think they won this trade. I think Tampa Bay, there is positives for Tampa as well. But I do think Houston comes out on top in this trade. So, And, you know, that is all the real significant moves that the Astros have made. They didn't sign anybody. The real only guy that they're bringing from a different team is Austin Pruitt. But we're going to go over their depth chart really quickly. So their starting pitching is Justin Verlander, Zach Greinke, Lance McCullers, Jose Urquidy, and Austin Pruitt. I really think Pruitt is the number four and Urquidy as the number five. But either way, it's a 4-5 flip. So, Justin Verlander won hell of a year in 2019. I believe he was second in Cy Young voting, only to his teammate, which was Gerrit Cole. Justin Verlander is entering his age 37 season. This season hopefully will start up in June. I have an episode coming out on that with the plan, the new MLB plan that they have. It was supposed to come out today, but audio file got corrupted, so I have to re-record that. So I decided to do the Astros instead. Verlander is still dynamic. He's still electric, even at the age of 37. It doesn't look like he ages anymore. He really doesn't. He just does what he does, and he does it extremely well. He's consistent throughout his career, even with Detroit and now with Houston. That's just who he is. He's a consistent player, and he's definitely a Hall of Famer. I'm going to put it out there now. I don't think it's a really big deal to put it out there. He is a Hall of Famer. And that is a phenomenal number one. You know, he has to move up to the number one instead of the number two because you did have Gerrit Cole last year. But I think he can do it. He did it in Detroit, and he can do it here. Next, you have Zach Greinke, who is age 36. So their starting pitchers, 1 and 2, are 37 and 36-year-olds, respectively. So they have to look to the future a little bit. Greinke, once again, pitched really well in 2019. What he did in 2019 is just what he does in his career. He pitched to a 2.93 ERA. He was 18-5. These numbers are just phenomenal. You know, his whip was a 1.06, another phenomenal year for Greinke, even his age 36 season. And like I said, pitchers did not get benefited from these buzzers. They had to execute, they had to bake their pitches, and they're going to do it. Lance McCullers is a great number three. We talked about him already. Jose Urquidy could be good, could be bad. We talked about Austin Pruitt already. I'm not so high on either of the four or the five, but when your 1-2-3 is that good, your four and your five just have to get you a quality start here and there. Bullpen, you have Roberto Osuna as your closer, Ryan Presley as your setup man, Joe Smith as your middle reliever, Josh James as your middle reliever, Joe Biagini, wow, I totally butchered his name, as a long reliever, Chris Davinsky as your could be a setup or a middle reliever, Brad Peacock as just a middle reliever, and Cy Snead as a long reliever. What a bullpen. But there is one small flaw with this bullpen. Anybody know it? 1, 2, 3. They have no lefties. This is a already bullpen. And I've never seen that before. to not have one lefty in your bullpen, not even a specialist, I don't know how that's going to play out. I really don't. So I don't know what to say on this except I don't think it's a good idea. You know, this bullpen on paper is so strong, but they're all righties. I don't know how that is going to play out. I really don't. You know, if you think about it, lefties are important to the game, but when you have such dominant righties, does it really matter? I believe it does, but I can see the argument as to where you don't need a lefty when your righties are so dominant. But I still believe you need a lefty in the lineup. Catcher, Martin Maldonado, we talked about him already. Serviceable at best. His hitting will get better. His defense is where it is. That's just what it's going to be. And your backup is Dustin Gardner, who you signed this offseason. First base, you have Yuli Gurriel. And I love Yuli Gurriel. Oh, my God. My words today. It's 4 in the morning when I'm recording this. Second base, you have Jose Altuve, an all-star MVP. Third base, you have Alex Bregman, another all-star who could be an MVP. Shortstop, you have Cross Correa, who is another all-star and could be MVP. Keeping the trend here. Left field, you have Michael Brantley, who could be an all-star but probably won't win the MVP, but could be an all-star. Center field, you have George Springer, who could be an all-star and possibly could be an MVP if he puts up those video game numbers again. Right field, you have Josh Reddick, who probably won't be an all-star or an MVP or in the MVP discussion, but you never know. With this team, you really never know. And then as your DH, you have Yordan Alvarez, who could be an all-star, and guess what? Could be winning the MVP one day if he continues to mash like he does on a daily basis. Yordan Alvarez is such an exciting player to watch. He really is. I don't know any other way to put it other than he's just so exciting. You see him just balls fly, like really fly off their bat, and it's not even close, you know. Like the balls, they're just not coming back. He won Rookie of the Year in 2019. His stats, he's only 22 years old, entering his age 23 season. It's just what he did in 2019. A 313 batting average with 27 home runs, 98 hits and 313 at-bats with a 3.7 win player. In his first year in the majors, this dude is phenomenal. So, overall, the Houston Astros are not getting an increase in record for me because I think losing Gerrit Cole is so, so, so important. But don't get me wrong, I'm not dropping them too much. I am factoring in that they're not going to have the cameras and buzzers anymore. But they're still an 101 win team. They are a 100-plus win team. And I think they're definitely winning the AL West again. They're 101-61. That's my record I'm giving them. It's only a 6-win drop off. I think that home record gets around 5 wins, probably 5 to 10 wins weaker, but that road record does get around 3 to 4 games better. They're still first in the AL West. I don't know if they're going to get through. Well, AL West is not going to be a thing in the new 2020 season because they're splitting it up into East, West, and Central. But, okay, so they're going to be first in the West, if that helps. But I don't know if they get through the Yankees. So I'm going to either, let's say there was an ALCS, I'm going to give them either winning the Yankees in 5 in the ALCS or losing in 7. If it's a long series, I think the Yankees take it because their starting pitching is just better. If it's a short series, you know, if the Astros don't have to put out Urquidy or Austin Pruitt more than once, I'll give it to them. So my overall grade for them, they didn't really do anything. You know, they lost Gerrit Cole and did nothing else. They're getting a C. They're getting a C+. C is like average. They just didn't do anything. You know, they brought in Austin Pruitt, but that's about it. And then they just brought their kind of core back. So they're getting a C+. They didn't do anything. Like I said, 161 is my projected record for them. And another episode will be coming out to discuss their punishments and did they get what they deserved and all that. But I appreciate you guys so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to this. All feedback, once again, is welcomed and appreciated. I am on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, CastBox, and that's about it. So you can catch me anywhere. All the links will be in the description. I appreciate you guys taking the time. And, you know, if you want to be on the podcast, talk about a specific team or about anything, DM my Twitter at @extraInningsPC_. The link will be in the description. And my new Instagram at @extraInningsPC_ will also be in the link in the description. All those places where you can reach me, just, you know, give me feedback if you enjoyed the show, if you think there should be improvements. And just once again, it means a lot. Hopefully all you guys are doing well, staying safe in this quarantine. Hopefully we'll be out of it soon and we'll return to the real world. So thank you guys so much, and I'll see you on the next one.